Pastor Matt will be reciting the narratives from the New Testament concerning the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to help you to listen to this well. What you don't want to do is to flip around the New Testament trying to find where Matt is and try to follow along with him and then remind him how many words he got mixed up. You don't need to do that, all right? He will be using material from three of the four Gospels as he tracks the eyewitness accounts of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you simply to listen. Listen to the story as Matt presents it for us this morning. The other thing I want to remind you is that this story is motivated out of God's love for us. When you look at the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul says, "But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The story of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's story of loving us and doing everything that he could do to bring us back to himself. So remember that as you listen to the stories. Lastly, this is a story that will demand us to respond to it. So as you listen to it, and even in Matt's presentation, there will be words to the effect of, now that you've heard this story, may it change you. May it direct you. May it do its supernatural work in your heart and in your mind. So without further ado, the story of Jesus' death and resurrection from the scriptures.
The Roman soldiers led Jesus away to crucify. And as they were going out of the city, they met a man from North Africa named Simon, and they forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And there, they offered Jesus wine to drink, but it was mixed with gall, a sedative. So after tasting it, Jesus refused to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by just casting lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." From noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard him cry, they said, "Eli, he's calling Elijah." So immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And then the rest said, "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." But after Jesus had cried out again, he gave up his spirit and he died. At that moment, behold, the curtain of the temple, it was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. And among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. He had himself become a follower of Jesus. And going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And so Joseph took the body down. He wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and he placed it in his own new tomb that he had carved out of the rock. And then he rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb, and he went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Now, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and she saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, John, the one that Jesus loved, and she said, "They've taken the Lord from the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." So Simon Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both of them were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and he reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in at linen lying there. He did not go into the tomb. But then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and he went into the tomb. And he saw the linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, he also came inside, and he saw this, and he believed. Then the two disciples left. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent down to look inside and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. "Woman," they asked her, "why are you crying?" "Because they've taken my Lord away," Mary replied, "and I don't know where they've put him." And at this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. Jesus standing there. But she didn't realize that it was Jesus. And so Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" But thinking that he was the gardener, Mary said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, just tell me where you've put him and I'll get him." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him. She cried out, Rabbi! She came to him. She clasped his feet and she worshiped him. Jesus said to her, don't cling to me, Mary, for I have not yet returned to the Father. But go instead to my brothers and sisters and tell them that I'm going to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And so, afraid but filled with joy, Mary went to the disciples and told them, I've seen the Lord. And she reported to them the things that he had told to her. Now, that same day, two of the disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus. Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and he walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And so Jesus asked, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still. Oh, their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus said, what things? About Jesus, they said, of Nazareth? He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and the Romans crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What's more, it's now the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning. They didn't find his body. They came and they told us they'd seen visions of angels who said that he was alive. Now, some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but Jesus, they did not see. And so then Jesus said to them, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And so, beginning with Moses and then all the prophets, Jesus explained what was written in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, as they drew near to the place to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day's almost over. And so Jesus went in to stay with them. And while they were seated at the table, Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks for it. He broke it. And he began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them gathered together and said, it's true, it's true. The Lord has risen. He's appeared to Peter. And then these two explained what had happened on the road and how Jesus was recognized by them while he broke the bread. And while they were all talking about these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Now, they were startled. They were frightened. thinking that they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? See my hands, my feet. It's I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bone like you see I have." And when he said these things, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12. He was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers where the nails were, I will not believe it." 1 week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although all the doors were locked shut, Jesus came. He stood in their midst. He said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "You are my Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But how blessed, how happy are all those who have not seen and yet have believed." After this, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the two sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Peter said, "I'm going out to fish." The others said, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, Friends, haven't you any fish?" And they answered, "No." And he said to them, "Well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." And as soon as they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the great number of fish. So then John said to Simon Peter, "It's the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around himself. He'd taken it off to work. And he jumped into the water. And then the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They weren't far from land, only about 100 yards. And when they came ashore, they saw a fire there of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Well, bring some of the fish that you've just caught." And so Simon Peter climbed aboard and he dragged the net ashore. That net was full fish, 153 large fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Then Jesus said, "Come, have some breakfast." And not one of them dared to say, "Who are you?" Because they all knew it was the Lord. So then Jesus came and took some of the bread and he gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. After that, he appeared to over 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And these, therefore, are the words of Jesus, the first and the last, who has now become the one who died and has come back to life. Hear these words. "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and I will eat with them and they will eat with me." He is risen. Happy Easter.
This is a story that demands our response. As Matt just quoted, Jesus invites all of us into an intimate relationship with him, into a relationship where he will eat with us and we will eat with him. And for those of us in this room who already know Jesus Christ is your Savior, when you listen to this story and you hear the story of Jesus dying for your sins, for Jesus conquering sin and death and sickness and all of the consequences of sin, and his resurrection, which proves that his death was sufficient to pay for these and to conquer sin, death, and sickness. I think a question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we living in light of the resurrection of Jesus? Having received this new life, are we letting this new life live in our lives today? And in light of the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that as believers in Christ, we know that we will be raised from the dead, are we living today in light of this great hope that comes right out of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? For those of you here this morning who don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to do two things to sort of help you along on your journey. After the service, if you'll go to the Welcome Center, or if you'll go see Pastor Matt, who will also be in the atrium, we have a special Easter bag for those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time. And in that bag, there are some resources that would allow you to investigate this story of Jesus' death and resurrection in a deeper way. We will also have people in the atrium who have a little name tag from the church, also a name tag that says, "Ask me about good news." And we'd love for you to connect with us, answer any question we have. I think for many of us in this room who have put their faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, we often, as we came to Christ, had some people help us in our journey. We'd like to offer that same help to those of you who still have questions but are seeking and are open. In light of that, let me pray for each of us, that each one of us will respond appropriately to this story of all stories, the death and resurrection of Christ. Let's bow together. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this amazing story that you died for us. You died for sinners like ourselves. You died in our place so that our sins be that our sins could be forgiven, so that you could give us by your resurrection power new life, and so that ultimately we would be part of this future resurrection where we will live in a refashioned universe that you will change by your power. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live more comprehensively and more consistently in light of that hope. Lord, I pray for others in this room who have not yet made their mind up about Christ. They're searching, they're open, they have questions. I pray that you would guide and direct them. And as they connect with other people, as they connect with some resources, that you would guide and direct them. Open up their hearts to see the amazing story of Jesus, who died and rose again, and who offers to each person who will come to him in faith the opportunity to have an intimate relationship of eating and fellowshipping with the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your death, for your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.